Well, today we're talking about don't look back. Everybody say, don't look back. Don't look back. All right. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. See, that we said the path of the believer is supposed to be getting brighter and brighter, not darker and more confusing. Now, I want to give you a key here right this up front. When you are experiencing darkness and things that are synonymous with darkness, which means discouragement and depression and dismay, which means your confusion, I don't know what to do, I can't think clearly, then that's an indication that you're going down the wrong path. The path of the believer, friends, is supposed to be brighter and brighter. That means every day and in every year and month, we're supposed to have clarity and clearness on what God wants us to do. When we deviate from that course, that path, what happens? We are walking backwards. We are not going forward. We're not looking ahead. We're looking somewhere else. Are you here with me? In other words, our forward progress in the Lord and in the things of the Lord become clearer, more clearer and clearer until we have full clarity of the will, ways, and works of God in our respective lives. We ought to have full clarity. If we went down and did an inventory of what does God want you to do, what are God's ways that you're learning right now, what are his works that you're laboring into, you ought to be able to go bam, bam, bam. Amen. And so the things of God are not to become confusing, cloudy, or conflicting in our heart and soul. If you feel like you've been spinning your wheels or going backwards, that's not the will of God. If you're going to experience victory and have a miracle in your life, the only way to get it is by going forward. You're not going to get it by going backwards. Look at Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24. But this thing the Lord commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Everybody say, God wants it well with me. He wants it well in you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and relationally, and financially. He wants it well with you. Verse 24, he said, but they hearken not, and they nor incline their ear. That means they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey God. But they walked in the counsel of the imaginations of their evil heart and went what? Backwards and not what? Forward. This has always been the problem, as we've said before. People get hard-headed and hard-hearted. That means you gotta come with a willing heart to receive what God says. You're not coming to church to hear what Pastor Ed says. I'm just a vessel and a voice. I'm God's vessel and his voice. But you want to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, saying to this church, what the Lord is saying and speaking to your heart. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Now, what did we say about sin? We said about sin that it will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you wanted to pay. Sin always deceives. But he tells us, do we have an encourager? Exhort one another daily. In other words, who's encouraging you to do the will of God, to find, follow, and fulfill the work of God that he has for you in your family and in your life and in your church? See, some of us want just passive encouragers that will pet us and when we pout, or have pity upon us when we go through pain. Help me, Lord. Come on, I'm ready to preach today. Y'all help me. Come on now. Sometimes we just want people to pet us and when we pout. Let me give you a little bit of pastoral counsel and advice. Don't pet a pouter. You will get caught up in their ungodliness and their corrupt emotions. I'll just leave it right there. Hallelujah. And we'll maybe talk about that at some other time. But do you have an encourager? Are you an encourager? Now, many people have a misguided perspective about encouragement because they feel like, well, that's just not me. That's just not my nature. That's just not my style. That's the pastor's job. He's supposed to send me a word of encouragement. He's supposed to give me the scriptures. He's supposed to give me, pump me up, make me feel good. Now, get out of that mood. He said, encourage one another how often? Everybody say daily. Are you an encourager? Now, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Listen to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded with such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So everybody say, get rid of the weights and get rid of the sin. So are you weighted down or are you sinning? He's talking to Christians. He said, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. He didn't say walk. He didn't even say crawl. He said run. Run the race by God's grace. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Jesus, our champion, initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaited him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. He is seated at the place of honor besides the throne. Think of all the hostility he's endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Now, the first verse gives us a great clue. We are surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses. Where are they? Well, most part, they are in heaven. Most scholars agree that there is a heavenly grandstand or like a banister or a stadium where they're cheering us on. They're saying, go, go, sister, go, go, sister, go, go. So they call you by your first name. I'm not picking on anybody specifically here. But they say, go, 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 do the will of God. Finish the work of God. Do walk in the ways of God. They're cheering you on, saying, go, go, go. And then we should have people on earth around us, particularly in our church family, that are telling us, go, go, go. I want you to do the will of God. Make sure you strip off that weight, brother. Strip off that weight, that encumbrance, that protruding thing that keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, what is encouragement? Let me give you that definition real quick. Write these three things down if you want to. An encourager is one who, number one, gives expressions of support. Gives expressions of support. Now, think back to this last week. How many of you given expressions of support to anybody? Now, I always say encouragement needs to go up because you need to encourage your pastor. You do that by saying, amen, glory to God, preach it, pastor, praise God. You tell the pastor that was a great word. Send pastor a text every once in a while once he sends out a word or text message. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, pastor. Why? Because it's just a blessing just to have a pastor. Man, some people don't even know the value and the blessing of just to have a pastor. But see, some people think the encouragement is just supposed to come one way. Just give it to me. Lift my spirits. Lift my head. Give me expressions of support. But what about conversely? Give support up. Say, pastor, I'm behind you. We believe in you. Keep preaching it. You're doing good. You stepped on my toes today. But thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I needed that, pastor. Appreciate that. expressions of support. Secondly, an encourager gives words of hope. My God, we need that today. Hope is joyful, confident expectation of good. Our best days are yet ahead. Come on now, we haven't arrived yet. We're not just prisoners of our past or looking back and saying our best days are gone. What happened to yesterday? Come on now, we're thinking about our best days are yet ahead. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on now. This is going to be the best week of our lives. This is going to be a September to remember. Come on now. Come on now. 2020, it will be the best year of our lives. Words of hope. We are to be hope dealers. Not dope dealers. See, some people are giving out drugs, but they're called unbelief, doubt, fear. Are you peddling fear? Are you giving the spiritual dope and contraband of anxiety and worry and fear to everybody? Or are you a hope dealer? We are to give hope, words of hope. And number three, an encourager refreshes someone else's spirit. Now, you can't refresh somebody's spirit if your spirit's not refreshed. You know how you take a refreshing beverage and you get so refreshed in the drink? It's, oh, that was refreshing. Or a glass of water. In other words, be a good, clean, healthy, re-energizing, refreshing glass of water to somebody who's thirsty. Here, let me give you some drink. How do we do that? How do we refresh someone's spirit? By showing up. Attendance. By showing up on time. By showing up prepared. That's refreshing to a church family. Amen. When you show up and you ain't got to be pouted and petted. You ain't pouting and need petting. You show up that you're fired up and you're focused and you're full of faith. And you're saying, come on, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm hooked up. I'm ready to go. Amen. Don't just show up and say, I'm here, Anna. I'm here. No, you show up also having an attendance. You're attentiveness. You refresh somebody's spirit by your attentiveness to their needs. What do they need? What do you need? Remember, we said it. What are the two things we do when we come to a church or come to any meeting or any room? What do we ask? Who can I help? What can I learn? Who can I help? So your attentiveness. You're not thinking about what I've got to do, what I've got to get done. That's not being attentive or aware of other people. And see, number three, your positive mental attitude. Everybody say your attitude should be one of gratitude. That means, what did we say last 2 weeks? We count it a privilege and value it high esteem and an honor to serve and minister to just one person. Amen. Because the Bible says the integrity of the local church, Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In other words, we value the fact that if it's just me and excuse this expression, a one snaggle-toothed old woman, I'm going to be excited and thrilled to minister to that one person. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. So our attitudes of gratitude and our attitudes of one of Christ-likeness and humility. In other words, we say, I humble myself to serve. I'm not prideful. I'm not puffy. I'm not pouting. I'm not moody. I'm not mad. Come on now. I'm not bad. I'm glad because they said unto me, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad about it. My enthusiasm becomes infectious. Just like that virus, they say, has infected so many people. I'm going to be the virus of the love of God. I'm going to spread the virus of the faith of God. Come on now. I'm going to be a virus that spreads the power of God and the presence of God in and through my life. And then number four, your demonstration of Christ-like attributes. Your attributes of loving, listening, and leading. Look what he says in Ecclesiastes verse 4, verse 7 through 12. He said, I've observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. Look at this. This is a case of a man who is all alone and without a child or a brother, yet he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. Don't let that be you. But he asked himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's also meaningless and depressing. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, New Living Translation. Two people are better off than one. That's why he said exhort one another daily. Why? You can't just be sitting in the mully grubs and having the curmudgeons at the house. If you're having a bad week, reach out, reach up. Reach across the aisle and say, will you pray with me? Will you agree with me? Will you share the word of God with me? Remind me how God delivers again. Remind me of how God heals again. Remind me of how God provides again. Amen. Glory to God. It's meaningless to be in misery all by yourself. Two people are better off than one. They can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone will be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. 42 times, ladies and gentlemen, in the New Testament, there's a reference to encouragement. 42 times. The ministry of encouragement is real, and it's really, really important. Why? Because we don't need people looking back and going back. Are you an encourager? Now remember, you're sowing encouragement. We got so much encouragement this week. We sowed so much encouragement this week. We told people we're better because we're around them. We're better because we're around. You want to lift people's spirits. You want to give them expressions of support. You want to give words of hope and refresh someone's spirit. Now let's keep going. The Israelites were guilty of departing from the living God because they refused to do two things. And let this not be you. They refuse to believe his promises and to live by faith. See, sometimes we need to be reminded of those promises, my brothers and my sisters and fellow believers and Christ followers. We need to be reminded that we need to trust God. Don't trust what you see and feel. Trust God. Trust, believe God. Have faith in God. And then live by faith. When you hear somebody talking about their feelings, when you're talking about their, you know, like those monkeys on the piano, they had a whole bunch of bananas around. They were singing about feelings, but they couldn't say feelings. They said peelings because they had banana peeling. Peelings, nothing more than peeling. So sometimes we always want to express our feelings and not live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says this, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you draw back from living by faith, walking by faith, now there is no such thing as unchallenged faith. And there is a fight to faith. In other words, there's sometimes you're going to be fighting. But it says fight the good fight of faith. We are to live and walk and talk by faith. The only way we move forward and go forward is by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By an act of faith. It says it 21 times in Hebrews 11. By faith, by faith. And once there's one through faith, a couple of, but by faith. What one translation says it real good, by an act of faith. That's why we need faith, friends, encourages. Let's act our faith right now. Let's praise and thank God. Let's act our faith. What does the word say for us to do? Let's do it. According to your faith, be it unto you. Amen? Faith refuses to look back and go back to the world and the ways of the world because the best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. Thank you for one amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Everybody should be saying yes. Amen. Well, they say, well, I'm about almost in the grave, Pastor. I'm almost retired. I'm almost at the point of going to heaven by the grave. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. This is a September to remember. This month will be better than last month. Come on now. This year will be better than last year. Much better than last year. Come on now. Do you still believe that? Yes. When you believe that, you receive that. Now, let's look at an example of someone who looked back, who was told not to look back. We're all familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, again, God had to come down and kill that, destroy that, those twin cities in that area. Why? Because they were so sinful and corrupted, God had to say, we got to wipe this thing out before it gets to spread. So, anyway. We pick it up in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 19. When the morning dawned, the angels came in to get Lot and his family out. The angels urged Lot to hurry. He said, arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are living here, lest they be consumed in the punishment of the city. Now, if you read further back in the earlier verses, they tried to get the Lot's two son-in-laws. But they got so caught up in the city, they thought he was playing a game or joke. They didn't think he was serious. So they stayed out there in the city, you know, frolicking with all kinds of evil. And they didn't even go home to their wives. As a matter of fact, they hadn't even consummated their marriage with their wives because they were so corrupted. You got to think about the real gravity of this thing here. Look at this. And it says in verse 16, while he lingered. See, Lot's lingering now. Just like seeing people lag around in sin, lay around and not getting their attitude or their act right with God. God's calling all his Christians to come home, to step up, to commit fully to him. Because he's getting ready to divide, and we're getting ready to depart, and this world's going to get worse, and all kind of evil going to break loose. So he's telling this church to get ready and sanctify yourself and come to a place that I've called you. There's no reason every church in this city, in this community, in this country should be full right now. Why it shouldn't be full? We should be having people lined up to come in these churches. Our church online should be quadrupled by now with people. But why? Because they can't physically be here, but they are here with us online. Amen. Why? Because time is short. And God getting ready to move. Amen? And some people aren't going to like how he moves. Are you listening to me? Amen? And so it's not a time to be staying home and not coming to church or not being the church. This is the time. This is the hour. Right now, we need to be having our attitude and our act right with God. But see, Lot lingered. And the men took his hand. They had to actually grab Lot and his wife's hand and the hand of their two daughters. They had to grab these folks and said what? The Lord being merciful to them, this is why they did it. And they brought them out and set them outside and said they had to drag them out to the outside of the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside, he said, escape for your life. What's the next phrase? Do not look behind. What does that mean? Don't look back. Or don't look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Don't even stay close to this city. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And Lot said, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight. You have increased your mercy, which you have shown to me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and die. So see now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. It is not a little one. Is it not a little one? Oh, my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I favor you concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city, for you have spoken. Look at the mercy of God. He said, hurry up. Now, this is a big statement. Please escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heavens. So he overthrew the cities, all the plain, and the inhabitants of the cities, and that grew on the ground. But his, look at verse 26. But his wife did what? Look back behind. Now they're almost in Zoar. But she did what? She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, this is more than just a casual glance, because they had to drag her out of the city. She's thinking about her house. She's thinking about her neighbors. She's thinking about her community. She's thinking about the culture she's coming out of. It had gotten in her and had gotten to her to the point that she was longing to go back. See, the names of this Sodom and Gomorrah are used throughout Scripture as examples of human depravity and God's resulting punishment. Look at Luke 17:32. Jesus, reflecting back on this account, he said, remember Lot's wife. What's he want us to remember? She looked back. Smith Wigglesworth said it this way: never look back if you want to see the power of God. What does this mean for us today? First, don't quit and don't go back. Why? So you don't do what she did. What was the problem with what she did, and what was the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah? Here's the real answer. She was longing for it. She hated to leave. The lewd, lustful, licentious, and lawless culture. Now, I'm talking to folks online and maybe perhaps some in here that your heart has got a hook to it, to what used to be. And some people go back. I'm talking to Christians. Christians go back to drinking. They go back to dropping it like it's hot. They go back to lewd and lustful living. It's not a time to go back. Everybody says it's not a time to go back. It's not the time to go back to stop serving and sowing and supporting. Amen. She loved the life and looseness of the city. She loved more than she loved God. Some people love these things more than they love God. Secondly, we learned what we mean when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He said, what we choose to connect to and commune with, we become. Listen, you don't hang around gossips and backbiters and busybodies without becoming a gossip, a backbiter, and a busybody. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! Welcome back, Pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. And y'all know through social media, through TV, through all, the world is offering you all kinds of stuff. And they're giving you narratives and noise whether you want it or not. I mean, even the sports, which I like. My God, they're all trying to send all these messages and bombard us with junk. Why? Because they want to change what you love. And they want to change what you look at. So many of us have to make a decision. Whether we're going to look at that and fall back in love with that by looking back, or we're going to go forward. Well, praise the Lord. I know that didn't go well. It'll be a good, better message next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, do not love the world nor the things it offers you. When you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. You can't have both. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for anything we see, everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Look what I got. Look what I'm getting. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm going. Look what I'm eating. They are not from the Father, but from this world. And this world is fading away. Everybody said the world is fading away. Now, he's not talking about the physical earth per se, but he says this culture, this world system, this wicked society in which we live in. It's fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Come on now. We need a church full of people that loves to please God, loves to live for God and serve God. Without reservation and hesitation or limitation. Come on now. We want a heart that says, I'm all in for you, God. I'm focused on you, the Lord. King James says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and pride of life are in the world. Those three, that's all that's in the world. That's nothing godly in the world. As it refers to physical temptations, especially sexual sins. Lust of the eyes is greed, envy, and extravagance. Pride of life is arrogant desire to be recognized. And what we call it, the me generation, the selfie generation. You know, so many people take pictures of what they're doing. They're magnifying themselves. You need to stop it. You need to stop magnifying yourself and magnify Jesus. Magnify the Lord. Come on, talk about what the Lord's doing, not just talking about what you're doing. Say amen or say oh me if it hits you. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 4:4 says, you adulterers, do you not realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. You got to choose which character you want to be. God has given us that choice. 1 Corinthians 6:16 and 17 says, oh, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is become one body with her? Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's just not say, well, you sleeping with her, or you sleeping with him, or you dabbling around in pornography with it. You're joining yourself to them. You're joining yourself to them, and you're joining yourself to them, and you become one spirit with them. Now, he's talking to Christians. And he said, for the two, he said, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. That means this is the time to be joined with the Lord and become one spirit with the Lord. The third point is this, that we learn and mean what we mean when Jesus told us, remember Lot's wife. He said, those who quit walking in the will of God, stop listening to him. and stop looking to him in faith and trust. See, when we quit walking in the will of God, see, we're supposed to find the will of, out the will of God from him. We're supposed to follow the will of God in him, and we're supposed to fulfill the will and work of God that he's called us to live in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So disobedience of Lot's wife is also a lesson to stop longing for the past and to start looking forward to the future to which God is calling us to. We're supposed to be stopped looking for the past. Some people always bring you back, go back, try to step back, and then they eventually look back. Stop looking back to the days when you used to party and play and be promiscuous. Those weren't the good old days. Grow up. Go forward with God. See, when Lot's wife looked back, she turned into a monument to the divided heart. They say a pillar of salt, but the reference of that scripture, some of the commentary on that scripture is that she became salt and sulfur mixed. In other words, what was happening to Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, the sulfur, the burning ashes of that destruction became a part of what she became as a pillar of salt. She became a monument to a divided heart. She says, I was trying to follow God, but I end up looking back and going back. Now notice in verse 26 again, Genesis 19:26, but his wife looked back behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Notice she looked back and that she was behind. That means she wasn't trying to get to Zoar, a place of safety, the new territory that God had called them to. No, she wanted to go back to the past, to her pleasure, to her promiscuous environment that she lived in. And see, she was behind, which was the epitome and the example of backsliding or backing away from finding, following, and fulfilling the will and purpose of God in your life. Too many are going back, and too many have fallen behind or gotten behind schedule and delayed in our obedience. I remember one preacher, man of God, somebody challenged him. He said, man, you're not tithing. Because, see, some people go back to not giving and being generous. I'm talking to the right people, and I'm talking to the right audience. Some people have gone back to not being generous and not giving. And this man of God said to this, he said this, his father-in-law challenged him. He said, I don't want you with my daughter if you're going to be a God robber and you're going to steal the tithe, the Lord's tithe. He had gone back. But he corrected himself. He said, look, I repent before you. He got on his knees before his father-in-law. And he said, I repent before you. And he said, the word of God says you owe 20%. 20% interest if you keep back part of the tithe. And so they went back and paid him 20. He said, I'm going to pay back my back tithe. I'm going to pay him 20%. Why? Because I don't want to go back. Because the father-in-law had told him, he said, I don't want my daughter living under a curse. To have a marriage that's cursed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. See, sometimes we get behind schedule on our giving. We get behind schedule on our assignments and our alignments and our appointments in the kingdom of God and in the local church. Are you behind schedule? Are you growing and going to the place where you are to be and have been called to be? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me close with this thought. Because I had another point with the being becoming a character. We'll pick it up there another time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is a choice that we all have to make. I mean, first of all, we shouldn't have all that junk in our heart to where the Lord has dragged us kicking and screaming out of sin, out of selfishness, and out of spiritual complacency. Come on, now, we need to get our heart right today. Like I said, this, all of our churches should be full of people that we have compelled and invited and brought to church. Online should be compelled, and we shouldn't have to beg to get 10 shares. Hallelujah. We should be on fire for God, but listen to me, by the Holy Spirit, we need to stop looking back. We need to stop longing for what's behind and thinking about that our best days have passed. No, our best days are yet ahead. Now, would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me, please?